If you have your Bibles, please take them. Turn to page 4. No, Genesis chapter 1. In fact, that song, the songs we sung earlier, are going to tie in and actually in what Gerard was talking about in adult Bible study. The image of God, what does that mean? What does that, why do we care? So, Genesis chapter 1, let me start off with, does anybody know what Tuesday is? John, some wiseacre answer? The 17th. Why the 17th? It's Constitution Day. Okay, we observe the adoption of the Constitution, and those who have become legal U.S. citizens. And just remembering back in 1787, the delegates, the Constitutional Convention, signed that document in Philadelphia. And as Americans, that is a pretty important document. And of course, during this circus season, which is political season, it's something that we as Christians should be well-versed, no pun intended, with God's Word, but also the Constitution, because it's the text for our constitutional republic. It's the foundation of what a deeper term of the compact, a covenant similar to a biblical covenant for how our nation is to be. Ultimately, we the people delegate responsibility to those who, you know, are elected officials. And the importance of interpreting not only the Constitution, you know, that we should understand what it means, what the principles are, and then how that applies to what is appropriate and not appropriate for the different levels and branches of government to do. Just like how much more should we as Christians look to the Bible, and you only hear me talk about MSA, meaning, significance, application, but we should use Scripture to define and value all of the aspects of our Christian faith, but especially in this case, the Imago Dei, the image of God. What does that really mean? Why is it important that we have opposable thumbs? And this is a famous picture, Michelangelo's Creation of Adam, that's on top of the Sistine Chapel. Not the 15 Chapel, not the 17 Chapel, the Sistine Chapel. Have any of you ever seen that? That's one thing I have not seen, but I would like to see that. Because that's, I mean, to me, that's art. Back in 1512, Michelangelo pointed that. And notice the mirrored pose, that is God reaching out to Adam, touching him with the life, the Imago Dei, the image of God. So our text this morning will be from Genesis. Kelvin's going to read Genesis 1, verse 26 to verse chapter 2, verse 7.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over everything, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the air, or the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning of this were the sixth day. Then the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Thank you, Kelvin. So just from the text, a few things just matter-of-factly stated in Genesis 1. The image of God, the Imago Dei, is a special creative act of God. And then let us, and I'm not going to get sidetracked on why the plural, but we have a derived dignity. We are special somehow in all of creation. We are created. We are to be dependent on God, but then we also are responsible to God. And we are the only created being with a personal relationship. And God said, very good. So we've gone all the way back to the beginning, minus 6 days, and it is very good, God's creation, with the creation of man and woman. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. That's very important. And we are mankind. Not this gender neutral, but we are humans. We are the mankind, male and female. And we are given the image and likeness. Many views on that, but the one I think best explains it is we are like God somehow. We reflect him, but we also have a role to represent him on the earth. God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, to be vice regents in the garden. We also have a functional responsibility. We're to have dominion over, or to rule, subdue. We are to be stewards of creation and to be fruitful and multiply, procreation. And one of the illustrations is Adam was given the task, dominion, of naming the animals. That's a sign of, you know, his responsibility to name the animals. And if you ever look at, names and pets, I probably don't want to know the names of some of your pets. But I had a Hebrew teacher that, the Old Testament, he had little girls, and he got them a kitten. And he wanted the girls to name the cat Tiglath-Pileser, an Assyrian king. And of course, the girls overruled him and said, no, Fluffy. Chapter 2 sometimes, starts with chapter 1, created man. We get into chapter 2, it sounds like, wait a minute, we've heard this before. This is, if you will, the micro-creation, a little more detail. And one of the things that jumps out is God formed Adam out of the dust and breathed in him the breath of life. So there is a material aspect to humans and an immaterial. Materially, we have arms, legs, noses. Immaterial, we have a soul. And humankind has an eternal spirit that allows us to directly connect to God. In fact, verse 7 talks about, and man became a living being. That word is soul. We became living souls, the Hebrew word. Well, so what? That's just stated in the opening chapters of Genesis. Well, first of all, folks, human worth and dignity. I mean, we see that in many areas in our life, And some of us may struggle sometimes about our self-worth, who we are before, you know, that God who is out there, the God of the universe. But this, and the second commandment, you know, talks about love your neighbor as, well, and as you love yourself, that's a golden rule. But the importance then of loving others in the sense of human worth. So that's, so things, political seats and even things like abortion, euthanasia, bioethics, capital punishment. Read Romans 13. But all these things have aspects of what worth is a human being. And so should we be casually destroying or killing? And then are there cases, in the case of capital punishment, because somebody has committed such a grievous crime, should they forfeit their life? There are ramifications that we, with a Christian worldview, should understand the human worth and dignity of those created in the image of God. Genesis 9:6 says, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made them." So even, you know, quote unquote political issues, well, that's your opinion. You know, people that disagree. And I would say, well, God was pretty clear about some of this stuff. And do we have a responsibility as Christians to look to God for answers, trying to understand as best we can before we, as enlightened Americans who know better, to, you know, supersede what God has said? But there's also a physical and spiritual importance. We are whole persons. We are, as Gerard, I think, made the comment, or somebody made the comment today, that, you know, we are embodied souls. We have an immaterial soul spirit, but we have a body that is equally important. Guess what? God the Son took on human flesh. So I think it might be pretty good in God's scheme of things. And two, and well, here's a, our illustrious Secretary of Transportation made a comment that was just asinine. Pete Buttigieg said, justifying, the Bible justifies abortion, because right there in Genesis, it says, until man has breath, he's not a human being. So therefore, until the baby draws its first breath, it is not really a human being. Blasphemous. Sorry, that was my comment. And two errors sometimes then affect us. We sometimes downplay the body or the soul, but the bodies, we can have what's called ascetic. Well, the body's not important, and we have to mortify our flesh. And if you have ever seen old movies where guys would whip themselves because the body's bad, but the spirit is good. Or the other side is, well, the body's bad, so it doesn't matter what we do. So hedonism, eat, drink, drugs, sex, rock and roll, no dancing. But you know, the extremes of not appreciating that we are holistic beings created in God's image. And so all of this leads up to, Beth, can you, there we go. We are the pinnacle of creation. What does that mean? Well, like the call to worship, when I consider your heavens, the universe, the things, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Why are we special in all of the universe? Think about any I'll say any other philosophy, religion, science, that we are just a little speck, you know, and probably the problem here on earth. No, folks, now don't get a big head, but we are the center of God's creation. I mean, so much so that God the Son became a man like us to redeem us before our Maker. So that should give us a proper perspective. We are created. We're not becoming gods, but we are more important than evolved apes and dogs. You know, I said we've got opposable thumbs, so I used to taunt our dog. I've got opposable thumbs. In fact, back in graduate school, we were our class, we were having a debate topic. And my little group, we were given the side to defend evolution. And so, you know, we had some, you know, typical reasons that are given. And then I got up there and I was devastating. I said, you know, we don't believe, or we believe that from the goo to the zoo to you. It was devastating. I think half the class lost their salvation because I destroyed their creation. But we are created. We are not to be self-absorbed, small g gods. We are not creators. And can you see this all the time on other cults, religions, philosophies, how, you know, we are our own gods, if you will. And we all know that that's only true for Air Force pilots and Navy pilots. We don't need God, we are gods. No, not really. Not really. But ultimately, God's creation then is an anthropocentric, there's a good word, anthro, humankind, centered universe. As opposed to what we are taught, and when you, all these movements, as opposed to a biocentric, we are just one life. And so who are we to claim primacy when it comes to baby seals, dolphins, things like that? And can you see how that would affect things like environmentalism? Folks, we are to be stewards. Christians should be the best stewards of what God has given us to have dominion over. But when being stewards and being concerned about the environment becomes environmentalism, where we are the problem, pretty soon, and that could even lead then to worshiping Mother Earth, Gaia, you know, just all of life. Folks, that is so wrong, and we should understand just from the creation account what our role is. Rights with responsibility. And then finally, just equality and functional order. So male, female, we have roles. We are all in the image of God, but we have different responsibilities, just like in the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God in three persons, but there were different responsibilities and roles within the Trinity. And overall, our purpose then as men, women, is to bring glory to God. It's not about us. It's about God and His glory. In fact, if any of you are from a Reformed background, but the Westminster Confession of Faith has catechism to teach. One of the questions is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So, the worth of mankind, if you struggle with self-worth, and a lot of people do, you know, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And sort of my not too caring answer sometimes. Of course you're not worthy. That's why Jesus had to come die for you, because you're not good enough to get to heaven on your own. And so, as human beings, male, female, we have wonderful rights, but then responsibilities. That's you know, just in many areas of life. You know, we all want our rights, but boy, we sure don't want our responsibilities. And we are to be fruitful, have dominion, be good stewards, and ultimately to bring glory to God. So, a proper self-esteem, which hopefully, well, which includes humility, because we are created beings. We are not God, but we are the pinnacle. So self-esteem, so, you know, pat yourself on the back. You are a child of the King. You have a purpose in life. You are unique. You are special. And as a Christian, you are a child of the King. And if that doesn't help with a lot of issues that, you know, psychologists make a lot of money on people that don't understand that, our worth, because we are created in the Imago Dei. And as Christians, we have God the Son. His grace, His mercy came, was sent by the Father to die for you. God loved you that much. Not because you're better than everybody else. I was going to say, not because you're special. But you are special in the sense of no gold stars for you people. But we are the God's adopted children because of what He did for us. And it is all for His glory. So I hope that's encouraging. So I guess one ramification for me is, I don't care if you people like me. God's rather fond of me. So get over it. No. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that You are who You reveal Yourself to us in the Bible. Just Your holiness, Your otherness, the Creator, the King of the universe. But yet, You loved Your creation, humankind, so much that we are the center of Your universe. And we have that eternal spirit. Help us to truly commune with You and to have that eternal relationship. And we look forward to an eternity in Your presence. But we also, help us to understand the importance of the bodies You have given us, the importance of biological life, our role as stewards of Your creation, but not worshiping the creatures, only the Creator. We thank You for what You are doing with this church family, and may we do everything for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen.